All right, Ethan, we are about a few hours from the men's individual competition. How many misses do you think Campbell Wright is going to have today?
I think Campbell hits all 20 targets, has a top 15 ski time, and ends up with a career best result, top 10, maybe pushing the top six.
That would be sweet. All right, welcome back to the Brian and Ethan Biathlon podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. World Champs, Ethan, just keeps rolling right through. We barely had time to record, and suddenly we're already through the women's individual. So we'll talk up to that part in the World Champs roster, the World Champs schedule. And then hopefully after the second week, we can find some time to talk about the second half of World Champs. But huge thank you to everyone who has been joining the conversation on YouTube and rating this podcast on Spotify. If you check this little star button, give us 5 stars for 5 hits. You know, we like to do things in sets of 5 in biathlon. So yeah, go rate this podcast because we are some of the only biathlon content out there giving you biathlon recap and insight. So if you're a biathlon fan, yeah, help us out a little bit. But dang, Ethan. Yeah. So I've been on the road, and we were just chatting real quick before we started. It has been pouring rain. I've been in Poland for the Junior Cup, and I kid you not, it was pouring rain every single day. So now that I'm in Estonia, it's a little bit nicer. Actually feels like winter. There's snow on the ground, not just on the trail. But I don't know. It seems like it was pouring rain in Novo Mesto too. So is this the new normal for winter? I hope not.
I don't know, especially with how bad Oberhof seemed this year. Okay. Hopefully this is not the norm, and next year things turn around and everywhere gets more snow would be great.
Yeah, I feel like it comes and goes, but yeah, definitely is not, it's away. It's gone right now, whatever it is. I mean, even in America, there's been sparse snow, sparse winter, and even in America this year. So yeah, knock on wood, next year is much better. But should we let's dive right into the first hit here. So we're gonna start with the women's individual because that is where we left off. And Lisa Vitozzi finally gets a win, and I think was that her first win of this season? I can't even remember last time she won a race. Let's see. Okay, so she won the pursuit in Ruhpolding, and then looks like she won the very first race of the year, the individual in Östersund. And then other than that, a couple threes, got a silver in the pursuit. But other than that, just a lot of top tens. So cool to see Lisa Vitozzi on the top of the podium in the individual. And quite frankly, that's where I thought she was going to be for most of the season. I mean, she won the first individual, and then that last individual, well, I guess this was, we had the short individual, 16th with 85% in Anholtz. Kind of tough to, you know, put too much stock into that one being at home in front of the home crowd. But yeah, really cool to see Lisa Vitozzi atop the podium. And, you know, she did it on the range because I don't think her ski times were all that impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was her first ever World Championships win. So I think that's, you know, she's been one of the best female athletes in the world for the past few years. And looking at her previous World Championships results, she's got multiple podiums, numerous top tens. But I think for her to put it all together and win her first world title, especially in the individual, which I feel like has her, it's her jam as far as the different kinds of race formats. But the women's individual was a great race to watch.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at it now. She actually had the third fastest ski time, and she was basically a full minute back of Brezza Boucher and Lampich, which is kind of wild with those two are just like so far ahead of everyone else. But in terms of the rest of the field, she had the fastest ski time, So yeah, with zero shooting, that actually was just the perfect biathlon race, and she deserves to win on that because few people shot clean in the field. But to do that, shoot clean, and then also have the fastest ski time of the mortal skiers out there, or the human skiers out there, it's just all around general really good race. But how about Germany? Three in the top six, all clean. I kind of had I would have not been surprised if you told me Vanessa Voigt was going to shoot clean, because I think she's just a solid shooter. But Selina Groschen and Jania Hettich-Waltz, also clean. Groschen's only 19 years old, and she's already knocking on the door of a world championship medal. That's got to feel good if you're the German organization.
Absolutely. I think, similar to this being Lisa Vitozzi's best race format, I think the Germans probably had this one circled on the calendar for a long time, especially with how the season had been going. Their MO has kind of been hitting the targets, and then that leads them to good results. They haven't been blowing people away on the skis, but they've been hitting their targets almost every race, it seems like. And it'll be really interesting having three athletes in the top five, all shooting clean. And Preuss had a little bit of an off day in 15th. Who do you pick for the single mixed relay? Because we saw in, wasn't it Antholz, where they only missed one target in the single mixed relay with Voigt and Strelo?
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Looking at ski times, I mean, Hettich-Waltz was actually skiing a little bit faster than Vanessa Voigt. Groschen skiing a little bit faster than Preuss. So I think you have to go Vanessa Voigt on this one, because she has a little bit of experience. Yeah, she got outskied by Groschen and Waltz, but I think they're just too inexperienced. And also, like I said earlier, I like Voigt to hit the target. I like her as a shooter. I have a lot of confidence in her. The other two, I think, were just sort of had really good days on the right day. So, yeah, that'll actually be really interesting to see who they end up going with for the single mixed. All right, well, speaking of the women's individual, we did have a disqualification, and I've been seeing a lot of conversation about this on the social medias, on the Reddit. Tuuli Tamingas from Estonia disqualified for Rule 11.3.4U. And the rule states you cannot remove one or both of your skis while shooting, and you cannot place an object under your skis. Now, unfortunately, I've spent all day looking for this clip to see if anyone got it on footage. I know that the IBU has cameras pointed at the range at all times, though they're not public. They're not broadcast cameras. They're just cameras for stuff like this, for reviews, and maybe Estonia protested the ruling and they went back and they looked at the view just to see what happened. Really hard to say, because it doesn't give any explanation really more than that. If my guess is she was either standing on her pole, or maybe even had the pole strap, had her ski go through the pole strap and she was shooting. It happens on occasion every once in a while. And I've even seen people try to ski away, not realizing that their pole or their ski went through their pole strap, and then they get all tangled up and everything. But if she purposely came in, put her loops, her pole straps through her ski, and then used it to try to create a little bit more friction, a little bit more balance on maybe a wet, slippery mat, then yeah, I think, that's breaking the rule. But if she truly did just come in and put her poles down and then accidentally slid her ski into the strap, that's tough disqualification. I mean, I think she was I think she was 10th, just ahead of DJ Irwin, maybe 9th place or so. And then, yeah, to get disqualified with a great race, I don't know. It's tough. I think the big thing that I've been seeing on social media is, they never would have disqualified this person if they were from a quote unquote big nation. I guess it's all relative. You know, it's hard to tell without seeing the video and knowing her intent, but it does kind of bring up some interesting questions of like, you know, we think of Strontheim back in Lenzerheide, who took his skis off to reach over the firing line to grab his magazine. Like, I made a video about this. Technically, he broke some rules there, but he didn't get penalized or anything like that. Same with Johannes Tingesbø, who started a little bit too early in the pursuit, but then quickly turned back and then went again. And I think people can justify that one with the like, oh, well, he realized his mistake right away, went back, and then went again. But yeah, I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of this conversation about like, oh, it's not fair. Like if this person was from Norway, they never would have disqualified them. And it's just too hard to tell without any, you know, context or, you know, insight as to what her intent was with this move.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see this conversation in other sports around the world, but in the Strontheim case, you said he took off both skis, reached over the firing line, which is breaking more rules than what Tomingas broke yesterday. You know, it's tough to see considering she had one of the best races of her career. In terms of placing the strap under your ski, in terms of wanting to get better grip and a better feel on the mat, that totally makes, you know, you can see why someone would want to do that, especially when it's rainy. You know, it was getting darker, so it might have been freezing on the mats. The mats could have been getting really slippery, but it definitely wouldn't have helped her in terms of time. She would have had to take her ski out of the strap. She might have done this unintentionally, you know, especially when you're having a good race, you're not really focusing on, you know, all those like little things. You're just trying to on the mat, get on target and then rifle on off the mat. So things like that could happen. Your poles could have gotten hit by another athlete or something like that, but you hate to see it, especially when an athlete has one of the best races of their career to date.
Yeah. And it's funny too, like, I mean, she had two misses in her first standing. So if that's when this infraction happened, I mean, she almost kind of played herself. If it was supposed to be an advantage, it obviously didn't work because that's when she had her misses. So yeah, a real bummer for Thule. I'm interested to see if maybe a clip or something of this surfaces on YouTube or Instagram or something of her, like for her to be disqualified, I want to see her actively like placing her straps like underneath her skis or like literally standing on her poles, you know, like I want to see like some sort of intentional, like I'm trying to gain an advantage here. If it truly does turn out to just be like, oh, like she like threw her poles down, started getting into position, and then her pole just happened to be under her ski and they disqualify her for that. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit on the side of the people who are complaining about disqualification, but yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see if any new information comes out. All right, let's go back in time a little bit. We're going to talk about the sprint and then the pursuit because, I mean, just talk about utter domination in the sprints. We saw it from the Norwegian men in the men's sprint. I mean, Norway, obviously, like they have what, the top six are all Norwegian, top seven or something. So you kind of expected that. But France in the women's sprint, I didn't see France going 1-4 in an absolutely historic day for the French biathlon nation federation. Julia Simon, she really knows how to step up in big situations. She's becoming a big game player, so to speak, someone who really comes alive at the majors. Justine, great skiing, just fell back, just had one miss. Lou Jeanmonod, super excited to see her on the podium. And then finally to round it out, Sophie Chavot, Ethan, I think is like kind of sneaky fast. Like I'm a little biased against Sophie Chavot, and the reason is stupid, but I'll admit to this. When she came in like last year, maybe was it like fifth or something at Le Grand Bernard, it was like one of her first World Cup races, and at home in front of the home crowd, she comes in She comes in fourth in the sprint, which best race of her career up to then. That was her fifth World Cup career, comes in fourth. But the other girls picked her up like on their shoulders and carried her out of the stadium in like a triumphant fashion. That's great. I'm excited for her. She had a great race, but she came in fourth. Like, we don't need to be carrying her out of the stadium. You know, everyone's crying because she had such a great race. Like, to me, it seemed a little over the line. So ever since then, I've always been like, oh, there's Sophie Chavot, you know, the girl who came in fourth, but got a hero's, you know, standing ovation. But anyway, so I've always kind of had this like weird sort of, you know, bias against Sophie Chavot. But I'm kind of looking at her results here, and like, she's like sneaky good. Like, she doesn't have the same, you know, could podium anytime sort of performances that you see from like Lou Jeanmonod these days. But she came in third in the sprint in Oberhof, and she's got a ton of top tens here. And, you know, it's becoming, at least for me, she's becoming someone that you can't write off. I don't expect her to podium any day like Jeanmonod or definitely Simone or Brezat. But she's definitely become someone that I'm like, all right, I can't write her off, especially the last couple of races. She's had some top 10 ski times. Actually, she's had quite a few top 10 ski times all season. So she's really improved her skiing this year. And that's making her become, you know, one of those athletes that could potentially be on the podium any day now.
Mm-hmm. I think she's kind of creeping into that kind of like second tier where she's not really expected to make the podium, like you mentioned, every single race, or fighting for the win every day, you know, where that's her goal every single race. I think right now her goals are to have consistently good performances, and whether that gets her, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, or on the podium, you know, the podium is just the little cherry on top, but being able to put together good, consistent races, especially in that French team that's so competitive. You know, we talk about them having one through four, but Richard was in 15th with two misses, being the fastest athlete with two misses, I think is, you know, something that's another positive to take away for the French team. But you know, having those fast ski times, she's only 24 years old. I think, you know, Simone and Brezat Boucher are only 27. So that's not like there's a changing of the guard in the French team per se. They'll still be around for hopefully a good few more years, but it was awesome that we've always seen the Norwegian men just polarize biathlon for years now. We've never really seen this lately in the women's field. No, it feels like every podcast we talk about how close the women's field is, and we have no idea what's going to happen, and every race is different. But you know, I'm sure the French team breathed a big, huge sigh of relief, especially not really starting the season off super hot.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the ski times from the sprint, Justine number one, Lampitch two, Chavot three, Simone four, Jeanmonod five, and then Richard nine. So all four of those ladies, all five of these ladies had top 10 ski times. So, you know, maybe some of it's also they absolutely nailed the wax that day. They all had really good skis for the conditions. Like, you know, there can be a million things that go into this, but yeah, I think you're totally spot on with the Federation just totally breathing a sigh of relief because they haven't been bad. Like the French team, the French women's team has been very successful this year with Brezat and Simone and even Lou Jeanmonod on occasion. So like overall, this season's been great for the French women, but to see it really all come together on this one day is like awesome. And then the added bonus that it's at the World Champs. Totally, totally awesome. But yeah, speaking of French, like, and then on the men's side, Eric Perreault, absolutely great race. Third place with a miss, fourth place with a miss, only 28 seconds. He probably would have come in second or maybe battled for the win had he cleaned. But that's great to see if you're, you know, the French faithful, because he's only 22 years old, first year senior. Really cool to see him coming through and you know, becoming his own athlete. because really, you know, Fionn Maillet, one miss, eighth place. Jacques Lalanne, one miss, ninth place. Like, those are actually good races for these guys this year. There's been plenty of times where those guys are struggling to make the top 10, even with good shooting. So it's really cool to see that Perreault is starting to become, I don't know, I would definitely say Perreault has moved into like the top spot for the French team yet, because he's still got a lot to learn. But it's cool to see that he has potential to, you know, potentially one of these days, maybe next year, maybe the year after, fill that gap that we thought Fionn Maillet was going to fill after Fourcade retired. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one thing we haven't even mentioned yet is France won the mixed relay to start the World Championships. And I think that must have been a huge confidence boost, especially having Norway being the, you know, odds-on favorite. Especially France winning with one penalty loop, you know, must have done huge things in their whole team, you know, as we can see with their performance to the rest of the World Champs. But I think Perreault has definitely earned himself a spot on every relay for France from here, from now to the end of his career. Being 22, being able to cope with the pressure. He had the sixth fastest ski time, which was ahead of Samuelsson and ahead of Ponsaloma. You know, I don't think we would have, if you had told us that at the beginning of the season, I don't think we would have believed you, just because Samuelsson and Ponsaloma have been one of the fastest guys on the circuit for years now. But it's so awesome to see all these young athletes that are either still juniors or have just graduated from the junior ranks having success on the World Cup. And we've talked about how the IBU Cup athletes have come on to the World Cup, had success. But I think seeing the juniors come on and throw down with the big guns is, to me, a little bit more impressive, just because they're, the level of competition on the Junior Cup at World Juniors is so high. But obviously it's not World Champs, World Cup with Johannes Tingesbo, Simon, Brizard Boucher, those athletes. But for Perreault to get fourth, one miss, it's just good to see young athletes have success.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then speaking of having success, Sturla-Holm-Lagride with the big win. First win in over a year. He's had a ton of podiums in between now and then, but sort of, I don't know, kind of a interesting season for him, I'd say. A little all over the place early in the season. Results, you know, in the top 30s, not even in the top 10. Finds his way in Hochfilzen and Lenzerheide and Oberhof, and then sort of starts falling back a little bit again. Ruhpolding and Antholz, finds himself outside the top 20, and then comes back with clean shooting in the sprint. And, you know, I really thought with like someone like Johannes Tingesbo and how strong he is, only one miss, I thought that was going to be hard to beat. But Sturla came through with his first, I think probably his first world championship medal as well, or definitely his first world championship gold medal. Oh no, he absolutely crushed. Yeah, he crushed in Pokljuka a couple seasons ago. So first time back on top of the podium since 2021. But yeah, really cool to see that this season, regardless how up and down it is, you know, there's always that mantra of like, oh, you just got to stay focused. Like, I'm always focused on world champs. Like, that's the big game coming up. Like, sometimes it becomes a little, I don't know, like, oh, that's kind of what they're being taught to say, you know, just like always focus, like shake off the bad race, move forward. But it's hard to really do that, especially if you are Sturla and you're like, where the hell is my shape? You know, you're like, where the hell are these results? I'm the guy who always comes in second behind Johannes Tingesbo, no matter what. And then this year he's struggling to get into the top 20. You know, there's got to be some sort of doubt running through his mind. So for him to actually bring it together and get his first win of the season at World Champs, probably definitely gives him a huge confidence boost for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And then watching, you can see all the emotion when he crossed the line, how much that meant to him. Because he was ahead of Johannes coming out of the range. And then at one of the splits, he was behind by a couple of tenths of a second and then finished 3 seconds ahead. There's just another race you can add to the Johannes Tingesbo losing in the end of the last few hundred meters of the race list. But we've always been, or this whole season, the story in the Norwegian team has kind of been, where's Liegrid? You know, he's kind of been the odd one out in terms of the expected results, I think you could say. But shoot clean, have a great pursuit, back it up, or have a great sprint, back it up with a really solid pursuit. It's just really good to see athletes that are struggling, because biathlon is not easy. You can be crushing it on the skis, but really slacking in the range, like Tandrevold a little bit right now, but that's okay. But there's so many aspects that go into the sport, and the days when it all comes together seem like they might never happen. You might never get there. But for Liegrid to put it all together at World Champs in a season that I think has been disappointing by his standard, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we move up to the pursuit, and Julius Simon, like I said, just has become the big game player here. When it's when championships are on the line, she, I don't know, I just have so much confidence in her to perform well. Like, I have confidence in other athletes as well, but something about her, like, she just exudes confidence in the way that she shoots, the way that she races. She's racing out there in a t-shirt. Like, there's just something about it that, like, I don't think she can be beat when she's in this big stage mode. But great race for Lisa Vitolzi to move up from 7th to 2nd, just missing the one shot in her last shooting. And quite frankly, even if she hit that and she went clean on the day, I don't think she was going to beat Simone, because she was, like, I think Simone was, like, gone and out of there before Vitolzi even took her first shot. So, Great race for Vitolzi. Again, Chavot coming in 4th place. Justine, just too many misses. If she could hit a few more targets, I think she's really the only one who has the ski speed to match Simone right now in head-to-head competition. Like, even the Oerbergs aren't skiing super fast or super competitively right now. And really no one else. I can't think of anyone else who could compete with Simone. So and we, unfortunately, Lampage is just not shooting well enough right now to fight for a medal. So I think it's up to Justine Brezat-Boucher to hit some targets to battle her teammate there and her national rival. But really cool. Like, I mean, Markéta Davidová 17th to 9th, and then just around her, I think we saw, oh, here we go, Teresa Vorbanikova, 32nd to 13th, both Czech girls with top 10 isolated pursuit times. So that's really cool, because, you know, we always talk about the home field advantage and or disadvantage maybe, and like having all the pressure of being at home, especially for world champs with all the fans. Like, I mean, first of all, we didn't even talk about Nova Mesto's biathlon stadium with all the fans is awesome. Looks like a freaking college football stadium in America. It's so cool, so loud. And even for like the women's individual, and hopefully tonight for the men's individual, the quote unquote boring race, the fans turn out, which is really cool. So really cool to see the Czech girls were able to have good ones in the pursuit and move up quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, just in terms of a pursuit, it was, quite frankly, I don't want to say boring, but it was just like, it was just wire to wire win for Simone. And that was, for me, sort of the story of the race.
Mm-hmm. She did everything she needed to. She did everything right. She's so fun to watch on the range with how fast she shoots. I believe it was the first standing when her and Brezat-Boucher came in together, and Simone was like out of the range before Brezat-Boucher even had 2 targets down. I think her shooting times have been like 18-17 seconds in standing, which is ridiculous. At World Champs, all the pressure, you're fighting for a gold medal every single race. In terms of everything that you have to do in a biathlon race to succeed, she checked all the boxes. And then after that, it was who could be the best of the rest and put together a solid race. And Vitozzi, and moving up five spots after probably a slightly disappointing sprint, shooting clean, I believe, and then finishing seventh is probably not what she had anticipated. But it was nice to see the French quartet at the top not go back to back in the pursuit a little bit, have some other nations in there with some success.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of interesting. Julia Simon, 13th course time. Granted, her last lap, I think she took it super chill and was like high-fiving and shaking hands with her staff members and stuff. But at the top, we had Lampich and Brezat-Boucher again, kind of trading back and forth for the fastest skier. And then number three, third fastest course time again, Sophie Chavot. So she's in there. I almost like with these last couple of races, her last like several races have had top 10 course times. She's almost like due for a podium, right? Like one of these days, she's going to have just enough good shooting and like enough people are going to crack that she's going to pop in there. Kind of interesting for Chavot too. Like her skiing has obviously improved this year, but not that much. Now she's minus 4.2, which is elite. Last year she was minus 3.1, which is kind of crazy because like that was her first year on the World Cup and she was already like a really elite skier. And the weird thing about her actually is that her shooting has gone down this year. She's currently averaging 79.6, and last year she was averaging 80.6. So her shooting's actually down a full percent, and 80% or 79% is definitely not good enough for like elite status in biathlon. So she's definitely got to get her shooting up to closer to 85%. But if she can keep skiing those top 10 ski times, and then she can bump her shooting, her hit rate up, Sophie Chavot could be a future, you know, future great French athlete.
Mm-hmm. I think she definitely has the potential and the trend. You know, we see this with a lot of the younger athletes, especially Johannes Tingesbo, where they are crushing it on the skis, but the shooting just isn't quite there yet. And in a way, that's almost better than having to struggle to find ski speed throughout your career, just because the shooting aspect is a little bit, I don't want to say easier to work on, but you know, Brian, being a coach, I'm sure you can touch on this, but having the ski speed and just needing to work on the shooting, develop that aspect of your game, I think is kind of the more ideal situation than the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, like I think with a good coach and a dedicated, disciplined athlete, you can learn to shoot pretty well in probably two seasons. Like then, you know, maybe elite in 3 to 4 years. But looking at, I mean, Chavot's, she had some great success on the IBU Cup the last couple of years. And even on the IBU Cup the last few years, her best season, she was shooting 85%. And that was actually last year. And she didn't race many races on the IBU Cup. But the year before that, 2022, where she raced the entire year of the IBU Cup, 76%. The year before that, 82%. The year before that, 76% again. So she's kind of always been at this low 80, high 70 mark. So I guess she's going to have to not decide, but like this is where she is as an athlete. I think this is a very good representation of where she is as an athlete. And if she wants to make that leap to elite status, she's got to make that leap. Like, you know, she's got to make it happen for lack of a better term, I guess. She's really got to work to get her shooting up to 85%. But okay, wow, we've been talking a lot about Sophie Chavot. But yeah, one other person I wanted to mention that we didn't talk about in the sprint was Biba Bendika, coming in fifth from Latvia in the sprint. Unfortunately, didn't have a great pursuit, dropped back to 11th with some tough shooting. But you know, I always cheer for the Latvians because I think their federation is extremely small and it's really up to them, I think, for a lot of this stuff, like with personal sponsors and travel and whatever, you know, developing nation money they might get from the IBU. Like a lot of this lifestyle as a biathlete comes out of their own pocket. So I think it's always really cool when they do well. And Biba has been, you know, just very open, very friendly person in the biathlon world. But then also, like, she just had a baby, like, not even like 5 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. I don't know. Like, she had a baby right at the beginning of the biathlon season, to the point where, like, I think she missed like some of the first races, and then she came back, and now she's on the podium. So, or not on the podium, but fighting for the podium. After really, like, I don't know if she's ever gotten close to the podium before. Yeah, that tied her personal best. And her last time she did this was in 2018. So, yeah, she's got a little bit of that mom strength in her, I think, to have some really good racing. But crazy for Biba is her shooting percentage is way down from where it used to be. She, you know, a couple of years ago, she was a good 80% shooter, currently at 68.6%, really down. Her skiing is way up, minus 2.7 median back. So that puts her squarely into like the one of the faster skier category. So yeah, really interesting and cool to see Biba, I don't know, have such a great world champs.
Mm-hmm. Her three fastest ski times of her career have been the last three races in Novo Mesto, this world champs, which is kind of crazy. But
that is kind of wild, actually. Maybe the course just then, really well, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe the super soft snow, you know, for her physique, her type of ski technique, whatever. But it's awesome to see smaller nations succeed, especially she's been on the World Cup for a long time now. She's 32. It's good to see athletes, you know, she's been trending up her whole career. You know, it's not like she's the only one in the Latvian team. Rastigouis on the men's side has also had a pretty solid world champ so far. I think he finished 12th in the 12th in the sprint, and then same story with Bendika in the pursuit, missed six and dropped down a little bit. But the two of them in the single mixed relay coming up, they could be in with a shout for a medal.
Honestly, yeah. I think they medaled last year in Otapa in like one of the first, I guess not the first single mixed relays, but one of the only single mixed relays they had last year, they earned a medal. So really cool to see the two of them. Almost seems like they're like kind of peaking at the right time. You know what I mean? So actually, yeah, that could be a really good pick for a medal in the single mix. Cause yeah, both of them are sort of one-off. They don't have teammates of the same gender that can help them in the other relays or, you know, boost up their nation cup points, but them as individuals, really strong. Put them together, really strong relay team. All right, real quick, we'll also go over to the men's side. I mean, unfortunately, Christensen, I think it's officially time we retire the Iceman nickname, because there's been a few times now where he's just cracked in the last shooting stage. And he did it again in the individual, or sorry, in the pursuit here, had a, you know, good lead going into the last race or going to the last shooting. And unfortunately just couldn't seal the deal. Couldn't close the door. And Johannes Tingis snakes his way back up to the top.
I think this race was a classic case of, if you're going to miss early, like Ligrid and Johannes Tingis Boe did, but the shooting standard, you know, across the whole table, didn't seem super high in the men's race. There's a couple athletes that shot clean, like Lucas Hoffer and Fabian Claude, but they're, you know, 9 and 10. But at the top, the shooting standard wasn't super high, making the times when you missed that much more important. Especially Tarje Boe missing 4 in his last standing is not what you want to see at World Champs. But
heartbreaking.
Yeah, I think it's awesome though for Christensen to get dropped from the World Cup team for Oberhof, have success immediately back on the World Cup, come to World Champs, get 2 medals so far, on the podium, you could see the emotion and how much it meant to him. But yeah, the Iceman status, I think, is slowly fading away, and we'll see what the Norwegian team does for the relays, considering in the single mix, you can only have one male, and then come the men's and women's relays, you can only have four athletes racing, and they had six in the top eight in the pursuit. So there's going to be two odd men out, and whoever those two are, I think it's going to be a really tough decision.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go with Johannes Thingnesbø over, you can't imagine your team's so good, you literally don't race the world overall number one. Like, I mean, you kind of have to go with Johannes Thingnes, even though I don't think he's head and shoulders above the rest. Liegrid has had a stellar world champ so far, so he totally deserves to be on it. But then Dalle, like, he's been consistent. He hasn't gotten a medal yet, but he's been consistent. Christensen, two medals, but I don't know, to me seems a little shaky. Tarjei, I love Tarjei, and that four in that last shooting stage is heartbreaking. But then you have Strønsheim, who came in eighth after moving up from 20th. So, like, the 20th is not good for Norway standards, but he moved all the way up to eighth, and I think he had the second best isolated pursuit. Yeah, second best behind Fabian Cloud. So, yeah, I think that there's two solid team members, and then after that, I wonder what they're going to do for the rest of the team. Because really, any of those four, like Christensen, Dalle, Bo, and Strønsheim for the last two spots, all super good options. Like, you can't go wrong with any of them. But if it's world champs and you're trying to stack your team to, like, guarantee a gold medal here, like, I don't know. Like, none of those four are giving confident vibes for me. But luckily for them, I don't think any other nation has the depth. Maybe France with Fabian Cloud coming alive. We already talked about Perrault. Jacquelin is obviously a complete wild card, but Fjellmaier is pretty solid. So if everyone on the French team can have a good race, I think they can compete with maybe some of the shakiness within Norway. But if the people, if the Norwegians right the ship a little bit, straighten themselves up, get their act together, I don't think anyone's going to beat them in that men's relay, not even Germany. And I mean, Germany fell back a little bit in the sprints and the pursuits. So we'll see how they do tonight in the individual, but shout out to Lukas Hofer too. 18th to 9th, clean shooting, beautiful race. And it's funny, 'cause like when you look at the gaps in the field, like there is this huge gap. It seemed like the top 15 or so were kind of fighting, and then there's just like the rest of the field, it's like there's just such a big gap to the front.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lukas Hofer. Not only did he shoot clean in the pursuit, but he also shot clean in the sprint. Oh, I think he might be the only athlete that hasn't missed a target yet at World Champs. I'm not sure about the mixed relay, but he could, this trend, hitting 20 out of 20 in the individual, his ski speed isn't where it used to be after missing some time with an injury, but it's awesome to see an athlete that had to step away for a little while, has taken time to get back into the flow of things, back to kind of his usual standards on the World Cup. We said it so many times this podcast, but like putting it together at World Champs just means so much more. And I think we mentioned this in our previous podcast before World Champs, that there's no World Cup points being factored into any of these races. And the Euro sport commentators talked about how the athletes are still wearing the yellow, red, and blue bibs out there, even though there's no points being allotted to those athletes for their results, which I thought was kind of interesting too. I mean, the previous year's winners are wearing like defending champion bibs, and I think that makes a ton of sense. It gives the spectators that might not be as tuned into biathlon, kind of an idea of, you know, where people are at and whatnot. But I think having the points at World Champs would make sense.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think it doesn't make any sense. Like, they should make actually points at World Champs double. Like, they should make World Champs more important than the average race. And like, I know, like, for sponsorships and, you know, your personal brand, being able to label yourself as world champion, that's huge, right? That's like, that's a huge incentive for sure. And also the prize money's bigger. Like, there's definitely more incentive for world champs for sure. But why not double the points and make it so that, like, if, let's say, there is a tight race for the overall, and, you know, Vitozzi, or actually no, Julia Simone's a perfect example. Simone is not currently leading the overall, but if she has really good races at World Champs, and then, you know, by the end of the season, it's still a tight race, like, I want to see her with the yellow bib and I want to see her get the overall win because she had really good races at World Champs. You know what I mean? If it comes down to Tandervold wins the yellow bib at the end of the season and she wins by like 10 points or something, like, absurd, like, it really just needed one more point or one more race for Simone to take that yellow bib back, I'm going to be a little upset because I'm looking at Tandervold's performances at World Champs and I'm like, she's the quote unquote best in the world right now because she has the yellow bib. Like, her results at World Champs have been atrocious. Like, where has she been? And she's supposed to be our quote unquote best. She's been 25th in the sprint, 34th, went backwards in the pursuit, and then 27th in the individual. Like, that's the best in the world? No way. Julia Simone is, like, she is right now the best in the world by far. She should be benefiting in the points from that. So that way at the end of the year, she can walk away from the season saying, like, yeah, I was the best in the world this year. I won at World Champs. I got the yellow bib. I won the Crystal Globe. Like, I don't know. I just think it's stupid that they took the points away from World Champs. I just don't understand why they did it. It makes no sense to me. But yeah, it is interesting that I like the defending champs bib. I think that's pretty cool. It adds a little flair, adds a little excitement. But yeah, it is kind of weird that it's also for the, you know, the average fan, the average spectator who sees, like, oh, there goes that red bib. Like, there goes Lena Heike. Like, she is the discipline leader for the individual. So maybe she's one to kind of watch out in this event. So I don't know. I think it's dumb that they took the points away. Let me know in the comments down below what you think. If someone can defend, like, why it's a good idea that they took the points away from World Champs, please leave a comment, because I need to hear a different perspective on this, because I just can't wrap my head. Like, I'm trying to, you know, play devil's advocate and be like, well, what's the good point about taking World Champs away or taking the points away from World Champs? And I just can't think about it. I just can't figure it out. So if you think it's a good idea, let me know. All right, finally, since most of our audience is American, we have to talk about the absolutely stellar performances of Campbell Wright and Deidre Irwin. Deidre 11th in the individual last night. Campbell with 11th in the sprint, 12th in the pursuit. Really good racing for him. And, you know, Ethan, all season we've been, I don't want to say disappointed in the U.S. results, but I've been lukewarm. To put it politely, I guess. I haven't been all that excited. There's been a few flashes of greatness, but in general, I've just been like, I know we can do better. And all season, all podcast season, I've been telling you, I think it's coming around. I think we're going to be due for a good one. And look at what happens here. Not only, it's not just Campbell and Deidre either. Like, The men in the sprint race getting three into the top 60 and almost like so close getting Maxime in the top 60. Great performance for him, just barely missed it. But having three in the pursuit, and then in the pursuit, Sean had a good one as well. He moved up quite a bit. And then for Tara, who's been like not on the tour this year because she went to basic, she got sick. She like, I don't know, follow her Instagram. She has everything that's been going on with her, but she just recently joined the IBU scene and then has quickly made her way to the national team for world champs and then qualifies for the pursuit, and her best result ever is great. Chloe Levins has been shooting lights out. Jackie's been having some good personal performances. So just like all around, all in general, like, and then Vincent Bonacci in the relay, everyone's been having good results, and it's been bolstered by the fantastic performances from Deidre and Campbell. So yeah, I don't know. I've just been super pleased with how World Champs has been going so far as an American fan.
I think, me too, 100%. Their season has been kind of lackluster and a little, felt like it took a while to get going, especially towards the beginning, and Östersund and Hochfeldsund, but Campbell's been crushing it lately. Deidre seems like she always has a great race in the individual. Her Olympic career best result was in the individual with, I think, seventh place. So I think this is the race she would have had pegged as the one she was really looking forward to. But the women's team has been pretty banged up, and athletes have been in and out of the World Cup, going down to the IBU Cup, or some of them, still racing in college and having to race a full college carnival season. But for them to have so much, I guess, uncertainty, you could say, in terms of who was going to race, Kelsey is not racing at World Champs due to health and sickness reasons, but for the women to, go into World Champs, have good results. I don't know if they had, how long they had known they were going to be competing at World Champs, but it seems like the European Champs and IBU Cups leading up to it were kind of selection races for them. Watching them be able to put it all together, especially with the relay coming up, I'm sure the spirits have got to be super high, both on the men's and the women's side. Looking forward to the relays. We'll see how the mass start lists are when they come out. I'm assuming Campbell is going to get a start spot after his performances, but Deidre maybe, which would be awesome for her to get another chance in a mass start, especially after the success she had in Lenzerheide.
Yeah, and I think, they do have the women's preliminary start list out for the mass start right now, and I think Deidre's the second alternate. And I believe that is because her sprint maybe wasn't as good. Whereas, her individual definitely got her on the list. Let's see real quick. Yeah, okay, 46th in the pursuit. Probably not helping the cause for the mass start. But, second alternate, who knows? People get sick. You never want to root for someone to be ill or, drop out. But They'll do what they can to fill those mass starts, and if two people are gonna decline their spot, then Deidre might get a spot. But we'll see after the men's individual if Campbell's on the list. I think he will with two, top 20 performances. I think that's top 15 performances even. I'm looking forward to the relays as well, because I've been saying this, I think we're like, at least for the men, we've been like 3/4 of a good race. There's always been one weak leg, one person in the penalty loop that sort of sabotages the rest of the performances. But I think with like Vincent being super solid in the mixed relay. I was kind of surprised when I saw that Campbell wasn't racing the mixed relay. It was Vincent and then Sean. At first I was a little surprised. I was like, I wonder if Campbell's sick. Like, this isn't good. Hopefully he's okay. But then I was like, I wonder if this is a test run for Vinny. Like, hey, Vinny, we're thinking of putting you first in the men's relay. Like, show us what you got. And the fact that he crushed it and had a, you know, tagged off in decent place, like relatively close to the front, good shooting, kept us in there. Like, that would be great if he can do that in the men's relay. Because if you can hand off there and then hand off to someone like Sean, who's got a ton of experience, maybe Vincent drops back a little bit because he's not as strong on the skis as some of the others. Sean can get you back in it. Maybe Sean brings us back into podium contention. Hand off to someone like, I want to say Jake, but his shooting is just too much of a wild card for me. Hand off to someone maybe like Maxime. And, you know, you kind of say, hey, Maxime, your job here is to keep us in it. Or even put Maxime second. Go Vincent, Maxime, and then Sean, and then Campbell, and like really load the back of the team to try to fight with those big contenders from the other squads. Like, any way you put it, like, that's a pretty competitive team, I think, if everyone has a good day. It just takes one person to sort of crack, and that's where we start to fall apart. But also the women, like, even in Anholtz, when was the last relay in Anholtz? No, not Anholtz. Ruppolding, I'm sorry. 15th place, like, that wasn't a bad race for them. I think, from what I recall, like, we were in there for a lot of the race. Yeah, and then it was till towards the end we had some penalties, I think, and then we got lapped. But even the women, like, if everyone's feeling good, and, you know, yeah, unfortunately Kelsey's not there and she's our strong number two. But like, if Deidre can have a really strong start, Tara can do what she's done in the sprint, Chloe can shoot clean as she normally does, like, I think we can definitely give some of these other teams like Estonia, Canada, Finland, like, we can give them a run for their money, I think.
Absolutely. I think, like I said before, the spirit in the team, you know, with everyone having success, not just Deidre, you know, Tara made the pursuit, Chloe had probably one of her best races of her career in the individual. They're all putting the pieces together at the right time, which is really hard to do in a sport like biathlon, where it's individual, but then there's team aspects that go into it. The camaraderie within the teams is huge, considering you're living on the road out of your suitcase for the entirety of the winter months together. It's an opportunity for a lot of tension and, you know, personal issues that can come up between athletes. But the whole U.S. team, men's and women's, seems like, you know, the vibes are really good. They're all getting along. They enjoy spending time with each other. And that's only going to help those team performances. It's going to make the team performances mean that much more. And I think the U.S. is always prided themselves on those team performances, especially when Lowell and Tim were racing and the men were getting, you know, fifth, sixth. It's almost every relay, it seems like, when Sean was younger. But I think the men's and women's relays are going to be really fun to watch from an American standpoint. And like you said, for the men, whoever they decide to go with, Maxime has had success in relays this year, the first relay of the year, taking the first leg. I think he tagged off in third or fourth. The relays, as an American fan, I'm really looking forward to in a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't want to build myself up too much, because, like I said, it's just, we're like one bad target away from just like a terrible result, and I don't want to like build myself up so much that I'm like, if that happens, I'm just like crushed. But also I'm like, damn, we actually have all the pieces right now to have a great performance, and not just like fifth place, but like potentially a podium performance. And I'm like, I just want so badly for it to come together.
And if that doesn't come this year, the U.S. has had success on the IBU Cup with some younger athletes. There's athletes that are coming up out of college that have had commitments to ski for their college and haven't been able to have a full season on the international biathlon circuit, whether that be IBU or World Cup. I think whatever happens, this World Champs, I think looking into the future, things seemingly are very promising.
Yeah, I agree. I think we are a very young team, and especially on the guys' side, have a lot of college-aged men that are coming through that, yeah, hopefully a couple of years of experience, a couple more years of commitment to biathlon, and every year at World Champs, we'll be sitting here saying, we got the pieces, but hopefully not, is this the year we can finally put it together? Hopefully it's, can we continue to put it together? All right, real quick, it's been a long one. Ethan, predictions for the mass start. Who you got on top of the podium for men and women?
I think on the women's side, I'm going to go with Brizard Boucher. I think she gets over the hump. She can use the ski speed to her advantage a little bit more in a head-to-head race, go to the front, make Simone Vitozzi a little uncomfortable. Tandervald has not been able to hit a target in standing this whole week. World champ, so the confidence is just not there. The Oiberg sisters haven't, you know, lived up to what we, you know, what every biathlon fan has hoped for them. So I'm gonna go with Brizard Boucher. If she shoots the same as Simone, she has the clear advantage on skis, even if she misses one more earlier in the race. She's my pick for the women. And then on the men's side, the men's side is a little tougher. It's like, which Norwegian do you go with? I'm going to go with Tarje Bo. I think that'd be a really feel good winner on the men's side. He's on the very, very much so on the older end of the spectrum in terms of the Norwegian team. He's been doing this for a long time, so I'm going to go with Tarje Bo.
Yeah, I like Tarje as well, but I'm going to go with Johannes Dahle because, believe it or not, his shooting percentage is actually a little bit down this weekend from what he has been doing the last couple weeks. He won the pursuit in Ruhpolding in absolutely dramatic fashion. I think we're going to see something potentially similar to that in the mass start with, you know, maybe like 90% shooting, and then he's just going to absolutely hunt down Ligrid on the last lap or something like that. So I like Dahle in the mass start for the men. And then I'm just too impressed with Julia Simone right now. Like, I don't think she can crack I really think the only thing standing in her way at this moment is herself and her ability to just stay focused, not get too cocky, because sometimes the French can get kind of cocky. But if she can stay Julia Simone, I don't think anyone can beat her at this moment. All right, everyone, appreciate it so much. The men's individual is coming up in a little bit, so we're going to look forward to seeing that. But yeah, like I said, leave a comment in the YouTube comments if you want to join the conversation. Go down there to see what other fans are saying, and yeah, be sure to rate this podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or maybe you're listening to it right from the website. So yeah, until next time, after World Champs, we'll try to get together and we can recap the excitement from the relays that we spoke so much about, and also the mass starts. So till next time.